I may as well begin with the obvious. I am not the Reverend Dr. Ann Minton. She was expected here. You may well have hoped to see her. She is always welcome as a guest when she comes. I was hoping to see her here. But the planned trip did not materialize, and what was expected to be a storm made it seem irresponsible for me to ask Anne to drive all the way from Lowell. And so, being as I was in town, I called her and said, let's not risk this. And so here I am. I have given up my plans for Lent. I have given up my sermon preparation time for Lent, as you are about to discover. Maybe by now, in your own observance of Lent, you have decided to slightly modify the ideas you had about what to give up, what discipline you chose to pursue. Or maybe what you decided to give up was the whole notion of giving up anything for Lent. After all, we are learning about ourselves that each of us has a kind of budget for self-control. And if there are things we have to spend it on already, then there simply isn't going to be much left for us to use when it comes to some new form of self-denial or making for ourselves some new routine to follow. At least I'm sure of this. Whenever I do manage to give up something successfully, it doesn't take long before the way I regard it takes on something like the following form. I don't know why I ever thought I needed that. I never really needed that so much after all. It turned out not to be that important after all. There is plenty we have that turns out not to be all that necessary, and very often simply in the way of a deeper experience of the whole life of faith. There is plenty, there is an abundance of things that are simply unnecessary to us. A group of us have been taking the Saturday mornings of Lent and reading our way through Thomas Merton's little book, What is Contemplation? Merton was a man who lived as a Trappist monk. He speaks with some authority when it comes to the topic of the things we can give up and still get by, or even be happy, or fulfilled, or secure. Thomas Merton, quite literally, lived a life with possessions you could fit in a grocery bag. He had no home of his own, no income of his own, no car, no nothing. He lived in a cinder block cell with a bed and a chair and a table and a borrowed typewriter. And that is about it. So, I am spending my Lent being challenged by the thought of all I have that I can't imagine being without, and which is, in fact, completely unnecessary. And not just unnecessary, in the way, an obstacle. Part of this discipline of Lent is to begin to see that there is little in our lives that is neutral when it comes to our relationship with God. Either it gets us more closely and more deeply there, or it is likely to be in the way. There is not much middle ground. So if you gave up on the idea of giving something up, because you just couldn't find anything so unimportant or marginal to set aside, you might want to think again. Because that is a good indication that something there has taken on an importance that might be a little bit out of scale with its eternal significance in your life. But having said that, these early weeks of Lent are also a good time to do a little reflection on the things we really can't live without. The lessons today speak of that in a general sort of way, and it's important to remember that there really are some hard limits on our ability to live without things. And so the title of this sermon is very simply, The Things We Can't Do Without. I don't mean the kind of physical necessities. We all know we can't do without water, oxygen, food, all of that. All that goes without saying. I mean something more like spiritual necessities, things we may think we can give up that are in fact are necessary to the health of our soul, to our spiritual existence. We cannot live without hope for the future. That is the point of the story from Genesis this morning. The plea of Abram is to have a future, to have children, to have an inheritance to pass down, to leave behind something. We cannot do without that hope. We are so made that we simply can't live on a diet of the past served in the present. We need to be pointed in hope towards something ahead of us, something that elevates our spirits and claims our energy and gives us a sense of purpose and dignity and value. We need hope for the future. And here is something else. When I asked some people at dinner last night, rather younger than me, what I should preach on with very little notice to prepare this morning, their answer was that I should preach on creativity. Now, they were not aware of the seasons of the church or the lessons of the day, but that is a sprawling idea, right? And yet, it exactly fits my theme. We cannot live without creativity. Let me say that a little differently. What my friends sense, and what any deeply thought-out understanding of Christian theology would teach, is that we cannot live without the ability to express ourselves creatively. We must create. And that this is not just a silly claim that we need to keep our inner child alive and have a box of crayons at the ready, although that is not such a bad idea. It's something a lot deeper than that. It goes to this. Our claim in faith is that we are made in the image and likeness of God. And the first claim we make about the nature of God is, you guessed it, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It is the first verb in the Bible. If God's essential nature is to be creative, and if we are made in the image and likeness of God, then, well, there it is. We must create. It is essential to what it means to be human. And if we are deprived of the ability to create, we will fail to flourish as God intended us to. A huge amount of the positive impact Christian doctrine has had on the development of Western culture is rooted in the basic idea my friends had around the dinner table last night. Our argument for individual freedom, our claims for social and economic justice, our convictions around the right of all people to be accorded dignity, all of that takes root from this. We did not just make up this stuff because it sounded progressive or good. Our whole understanding of God and of the divine part of our own nature is bound up in that idea. We must create. And there's one thing more we can't live without. One thing we really cannot give up for Lent, although many have, to their great cost. We cannot give up community. We cannot give up a place not just of interaction, but of relationship, of interdependence with other human beings. For us, that is what the church offers. For some of us, the church may be the only place where we know what community really is, a place that you can't be in without giving something of yourself and receiving back something of yourself from other people. Community is not our workplace or our colleagues. That's not a slight against our colleagues at work, but our workplace is something fundamentally different and far less mutual on the scale of interdependence. And a lot of the places where we used to find community, our neighborhoods, our social organizations, even in our extended families, a lot of those are either too remote or too complicated or too withdrawn to be real community these days. We need community because it provides a means for us to have healthy access to at least one last spiritual essential. We cannot live without intimacy. I'm not talking about the kind of intimacy that Bloomingdale's has in mind in the section of the store called Intimates. I'm talking about something much, much deeper, something more essential to our being, and as a result, something because of which we can be very deeply confused or wounded. We long to be connected to our source. We long to be in relationship with our Creator. Whatever that means, at least it means that we long to know love because we claim by faith that God is love. And therefore, for us to know the actual real power of love to transform us and give us a sense of connectedness and power is for us to be connected to God. If you don't have places in your life to make that connection, if you take yourself out of communities where real and healthy connections can take place, then that essential need for intimacy will drag you into all kinds of trouble. And unlike our predecessors in the faith, we today live in a whole culture built on the lie that anything you need, you can get, even community, even intimacy, by means of some kind of transaction. But you can't. So, like Abram, we need hope for the future. Like Paul, like all people who build things, we need to create. Like Jesus, and indeed like all faithful people, we need to be part of a community of believers, a community of people who try to walk the faith their whole lives long. Those are the things that we can't give up for Lent. No, on the contrary, we give up other stuff so that we can hold on to those things, find new ways of pursuing them with all the more energy. Amen.